Hi there, and welcome to the Engage Employee podcast, where you'll discover the latest insights, opinions, and trends within the industry.
Today, our editorial director, Steve Hurst, is joined by Lorraine Solomon, managing director at Inspiring Conversations, and David Fletcher, director, enterprise sales at Beezy. Lorraine is a business leader with significant experience of working at board level and an outstanding track record of delivering results. David is responsible for sales, retention, and growth at Beezy, and spends his time helping customers choose and be successful with their digital workplace solution.
Hi there, Lorraine and Dave. How are you both today?
I'm good, thank you, Steve. Thanks for inviting me along.
It's a pleasure.
Very good, thank you.
And a pleasure to have you both on board for the podcast. I'll kick off with a question for you, Lorraine. Why is a digital workplace or internet so important for business today?
Well, businesses are increasingly facing challenges because of the environment that we're operating in. COVID has changed so many things, and they're facing opportunities as well. So, you know, more and more employees really need to be able to find the information they need and collaborate with customers at the stroke of a key, you know, kind of wherever they are and whenever they need it. So a digital workplace really is a great central place where everyone in a global organization can easily communicate and collaborate and connect with each other. And also it's a great platform where, you know, from an organization, all of the information can be stored and accessed at an appropriate time. So, you know, people don't need to struggle anymore with looking at different screens and kind of thinking about multiple passwords. You know, now everything they need to do their job, whether they're in an office or more likely remotely, really is accessible in one place. So I found that over the last few months in particular, it's really revolutionised the way people are able to work.
Indeed, Lorraine. Thanks for that. Question for you now, Dave. A lot of people are throwing around the terms internet, social collaboration tool, digital workplace, intelligent workplace. You know, from your point of view, what's the difference, Dave, and why is Beezy an intelligent workplace solution?
Thanks. I think it's a very good question, and it's an interesting, unfortunately, not a particularly short answer, but I kind of give you a very high level of why I think those terms exist. And the order you read them in is perfect as far as I'm concerned. So I think when we started to look at intranets as a thing, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, intranets were often very push. And the idea of, you know, lots of web parts, lots of push, very static information, and then move forward. And there was this craze for ESNs, enterprise social networks. And I think that's where the kind of social collaboration term came in. And it's really when Beezy was born. That's really what our product was and kind of where we entered the market in the late sort of 2010s. And then I think move forward, you had people wanting to combine, right? They no longer wanted just a social tool and they no longer wanted just the internet. They wanted the idea of both, right? They wanted ideally in one place. So kind of does away with the idea of Yammer being a separate tool and SharePoint being a separate tool. And there was this boom of internet in a box vendors and they were trying to combine both. And I think move forward to today. And the reason we call ourselves an intelligent workplace is that I think in the last 1 or 2 years, you've seen a real drive from not just the industry, but the market to demand a little bit more. So not necessarily just social. And of course, you know, internal comms will never let you get away without having the push, without having news. But I think now what users want is not just people to people, not just the static content from internal comms, not just the HR content, but also what I would call product to people or solutions to people. So what I mean is the need now is that you have one single newsfeed to get work done. And whether that data comes from your intranet or comes from Salesforce or Microsoft Dynamics or Microsoft Teams, I don't think it should matter. I think the idea is that you have a centralized hub where you get all of your work done. And I think that is what we see is the intelligent workplace. And in our opinion, that's really the focus of the industry today and why we're starting to see APIs, connectors, all of these things become imperative in digital workplace projects.
Thanks for that, Dave. Another question for you, Lorraine, from the internal comms perspective, obviously. What do you think are the main internal comms challenges and pain points at the moment, especially as we continue to move through the COVID-19 pandemic?
Oh, thanks, Steve. I've been kind of reading quite a lot in the paper over the last couple of weeks about the fact that 6 months into any kind of catastrophe, people call the war, you know, this is the time when, you know, it's quite hard for people to get through. And I think we're facing that because I think that, you know, from an employee point of view and from a business point of view, there's some really lonely winter months ahead. Some people are back in the offices and some people are not. And that's creating, you know, kind of a bit of a dual a hierarchy almost in organisations. Many organisations have seen a significant change in their workforce. Some people are still on furlough. Lots of people have left.
Yes.
And, you know, kind of customers are demanding different things from businesses and want to interact in a different way. So I think from an internal comms point of view, they really need to help the leadership team and businesses manage all of those things and keep workers motivated and connected to a really changing business agenda at quite a tricky time. So, of course, yeah, the kind of change, and I'm not so much sure whether it's so much of a pain point but an opportunity, is, of course, with technology. So I think organisations have introduced some amazing technology over the last few months. Sometimes they've done it without necessarily a great strategy, for very good reasons, you know, because often organisations have had to introduce technology very quickly.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to kind of make sense of it all. And some of it has some consequences. So I think we've all heard of the term Zoom fatigue. You know,
yes,
I know that I spend the day on Zoom and I feel exhausted, you know, at the end of it.
So yes,
how do they juggle all of this technology and all of the emotions and all of the different demands of customers in an organisation? So it's a hugely exciting opportunity, I think, for internal communications. And using technology in the right way, like, you know, coming back to the digital workplaces, will have a huge advantage if we get it right.
Yeah, agreed. So just to further that point, Lorraine, what do you think the next 6 months will hold in store for internal comms as we go through this long winter?
So I think internal comms will work closely with leadership teams to, you know, kind of just help motivate employees and help them to understand the different ways, you know, kind of businesses are going to work. I think the trust is going to be, has been important and will be increasingly important.
Yes,
with leadership
agreed.
Teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think one of the things that's anchored employees is seeing the leader, seeing the CFO and seeing the C-suite, sometimes, you know, in their own homes, you know, looking, you know, kind of authentic, using normal language as opposed to corporate speak, which they have done in the past. And finding ways for leaders to be visible to help explain, you know, what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, what it means for us as employees and organisations is going to be really key over the next 6 months.
Thanks for that, Lorraine. Back to you, Dave. Question for you. Obviously, we know that one of the main goals for internal comms is to deliver messages of communication for the right people wherever they are and empower our people so they feel engaged and up to date. How does a digital workplace help internal comms teams with this, and why is it better than just, say, email or MS Teams, for example?
Yeah, it's another question I get a lot, and I think the question kind of stems a little bit from not necessarily internal comms, but general businesses' perception of really what Teams and email are good for. And I think the problem you've got right now is, you know, you can ask Microsoft, for example, any question, you know, you can ask them what they had for lunch and their answer is Teams right now. It's the only thing that they're saying to all of their customers. And I think if you take a step back and look at what the difference is, you know, there's actually a very interesting article on the web by a gentleman called Matt Mullenweg, who talks about the distributed works 5 levels of autonomy.
Yeah.
And it really looks at what utopia is for an internal comms team, but what utopia is for a business that is looking to have a digital workplace. And I think when you look at Teams or email, you find it's very, very good for a number of things. But as Lorraine just alluded to, fatigue is very real, and in not just Teams and email, but, you know, the likes of Zoom, as she mentioned. And I think if you start looking at living your life in Teams, and if internal comms use that as their only channel, then your users will get mental fatigue, exhaustion. It promotes this ASAP culture, this idea that everything's got to be responded to instantly. this fear of missing out and or not having something to say is very real and creates quite a lot of anxiety and stress for the users. And the most important thing for me is that people don't think things through. So it's one line at a time, right? It's everything is instantaneous. You have to reply quickly and nothing's ever considered inside of Teams. I'm the worst for this. I live in Teams. I think it's a great solution, but my spelling is atrocious. I type quickly, and I have to go back and really edit every single post because I don't think it through. I don't take time. And it really promotes this kind of knee-jerk response. People react to stories a lot quicker. Everyone piles in.
True.
There's a lot of repetition, a lot of people not reading what's gone before. So I think it's a great and useful set of tools. Teams, Slack, email, they're very useful. But I think what a digital workplace does very well, and it's really the link between synchronous and asynchronous collaboration, is it's more thoughtful, it's more considered, you can be more target-driven. People can consume it at their leisure. They don't have to read that news story straight away. They don't have to read that HR policy straight away. And I think for me, more and more as these tools become adopted in businesses, there needs to be a nice balance between synchronous and asynchronous. And that's really what that article I mentioned, the distributed works, five levels of autonomy, explained very well.
Yeah. Sounds a very interesting article. I'll have to read that myself. I haven't read that one yet, but I will read that. Thanks, Dave. And I mean, Lorraine, obviously you're a former customer and user of Beezy when you were at Monster. What were the main features of Beezy that people enjoyed?
So you're right. I used Beezy at Monster. And actually, I'm now freelance. And I'm in the interesting position where I'm working with different clients who are using different systems. So I've got a bit of an opportunity to kind of tap into, you know, kind of different intranets and see what they're like. And I have nothing compares to Beezy, and I don't work for Beezy. Interestingly, I think, kind of Beezy is really built with a busy employees in mind, because I think it takes, familiar social networking platforms that we use in our everyday life, like a combination of LinkedIn, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, and kind of brings them to life in the professional world. So it's really intuitive, and it's really easy to communicate, I think, far more than other platforms. One of the things that I really like is that I find that kind of important global and local news doesn't get lost in the noise. So at Monster we had a carousel on the homepage with news stories that people really needed to know, and they're there and very easy to find, along with all the kind of social collaboration type tools. And then I think the other thing that we really liked was, and I think Dave mentioned this earlier, that it enables integrations with other employee tools. So, for example, at Monster, our sales teams used Salesforce, but it integrated with Beezy. So people didn't need to come out of one screen and into another and put in a new password, and all the hassle that comes with it.
Yes.
Everything was on one tool and it was really intuitive. That was good. I guess the other thing was, and this is kind of really relevant for now, is that it had a really good mobile app. For us, people were on the road out. We had lots of sales teams all the time, and they needed to be able to, access information really easily and be able to collaborate as well on a mobile phone as they could on their, kind of desktops or their laptops. And it was really great for that. And I guess the final thing I would say, from my point of view at Monster, was that it was very easy to set up, install, very secure. And that was important because we had a very small technology team that didn't have a lot of time to support us as an internal comms team. So we needed something that, was out of the box. We can store a little configuration. We needed something that was, kind of ready to go. And although we branded it to Monster, it was super simple and didn't take up a lot of time from our technology department, and that was kind of important for us, along the journey. So
thanks for the insight. Yeah, thanks for the insight there, Lorraine. Now Dave, we can't really have a podcast. We've been discussing the pandemic already, but what kind of user trends are you seeing from your customers using Beezy? Are they using certain features? How is that changing? How has that changed over the last 6 months during the pandemic?
Yeah, I think it's a great topic, and the time at the moment to talk about digital workplaces is the best time we've ever had, right? It's more important than it's ever been to have a connected workforce. And I think, like Lorraine rightly said, there's been some really key features that we have that has been incredibly well used. But I think what's been more important and something we pride ourselves on is listening, right? So we have, as Lorraine rightly said, a really nice balance between this mix of kind of global local content, the ability to have your news that's relevant to you, but also the news that everyone wants you to see. And of course, you've got this news feed which shows you all the things that are relevant to you, no matter where it's coming from. But what I found is that, we became more important than ever, and we've invested a lot in customer success the last few years. So what we did at the start of this year, and really just as COVID was hitting, was we started asking a lot more customers, what's missing, right? Look, we're a great product, and we always get voted very highly in the industry, but no product's perfect. So how do we improve? And I think what we've really found in the last, I'd say the last two releases of our product, we do a release every quarter, we've listened, and we've really tried to improve the product in line with the needs that we're seeing from customers. And that really focuses on enhancing the global local. So not just your news, but maybe the navigation should be more localized. Organizations have many different environments. We have some customers that have five companies in one, and the idea of a global level navigation for everybody doesn't necessarily work. The idea that the HR page is for everyone, albeit targeted, doesn't necessarily work. So I think what I've definitely found from COVID for us, it's enhanced the product greatly. We've listened to our customers, and we've done two releases focusing on the admins, focusing on internal comms and how they can make sure that the content they're pushing is completely relevant to their users. So for me, I'd say that's the biggest benefit out of this terrible situation, that the product has kicked on quite a lot with the users and the company at mind.
That's a very encouraging upside, Dave, I must say. Lorraine, as an internal comms, HR, culture and change leader, what tips would you give to your internal comms colleagues that are listening to this podcast about how to kick off an internet project, and what must you do to build your internal business case?
Oh, okay. So I have introduced two intranet / digital workplaces in two different organizations, originally Thomson Reuters and then Monster. And there's a few things I think I would share. One is to be really clear about your desired outcome. So really kind of understand at the beginning what it is that you're trying to achieve. And so that needs to connect directly to your business. And so you need to kind of really think about what's the business pain points that you're trying to solve, and how can your intranet, kind of help with that. So, for example, if one of the things that, is important in your business is, getting your workforce to work remotely or enabling them to work remotely, like in the COVID pandemic, you need to find a solution where people are easily able to find information and access leading edge technology, remotely. That needs to
be absolutely possible.
And if you kind of think about your current intranet landscape, often organizations already have an intranet. So what's good? What isn't good? Why are you trying to change? What's going to be different? I also think that you need to conduct a little bit of employee research. So, what do they need from an intranet? Particularly people at different levels, in different locations, you might be doing different roles in an organization. I then think it's important to kind of look at different intranet solutions. What's right for you? What are the features and benefits that connect most with what your organization is trying to achieve? And that will really help you to, kind of figure out which provider is best for you. So we did absolutely that at Monster. We spent some time in that phase, and that's where we, eventually concluded on Beazley, having looked at a number of different solutions.
Right, yeah.
And then it's really important to, do the normal project things, create a, project plan, a timeline, kind of figure out what the success looks like, how will you measure the results, and get stakeholders on board. Getting stakeholders on board is a really key part of that, because you want to get them involved and excited about the project, and you want to help, you want to try and encourage them to make some decisions as well, because the more involved they can be, the better the results will be at the end of the project. And I guess finally, when you're kind of implementing a digital workplace, it's important to get all employees involved, do have some fun. We had a naming competition at Monster, and that kind of connected everyone with the channel that we were trying to introduce. We had all sorts of kind of fun you know, kind of names. We had Monster McMonster Face, you know, etc.
Yeah.
Before eventually we decided on the name M-Space, which was our version of BZ. And that, you know, kind of just got people thinking about what's this going to do. Let's have a little bit of fun and started to connect people to it, you know, kind of right away. Mm.
Well, the more fun we can have when we're working, the better, from my point of view, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Particularly now. But we're being really clear about what you want to achieve, how you're going to measure it, what success looks like, and buying stakeholders into it is really important at the beginning.
Yeah, thanks for that, Lorraine. And now Dave, Lorraine mentioned a while ago that, your mobile app. Can you tell us a bit more about how that works and where that fits in with your suite?
Yeah, absolutely. So we decided a while ago. So BZ is a product lives inside a platform, right? We live inside of the customer's Office 365 environment. And the temptation, of course, would be just to say, look, SharePoint has an app, you know, BZ lives in SharePoint, use that. But there's a lot of things that you miss if you go down that route. And also the whole responsive design thing, you know, yes, we are a responsive product, but there are things that native apps do a lot better. And something that I think you have to really focus the thought process of what a native app should do. So that's what we did. We developed the iOS and Android app, not just for iPhone, but also for tablet, so for iPad or for Android tablet. And we focused on a few things about improving the experience for mobile. So, for example, the UI is slightly different, the way that the newsfeed works, the way that you share content, take photos, that kind of thing. It's again, looking at the consumer world. You know, sharing a post in BZ is just like sharing a post in Facebook or LinkedIn. It's a very simple UX. But I think also what's really, really useful and important on mobile are push notifications. You know, again, the idea of these people working from home, working remotely. You know, this morning I had to look after my baby briefly. I got a push notification about something on BZ that I needed to deal with. And I got that on my phone. I didn't have to be at my desktop. And I think allowing people to be more flexible in the way they work on different devices is very important. But I think also having a device or a native app that thinks about it, that thinks about how the users are going to use the product, that thinks about how they're going to search for content, thinks about how they're going to click on a person and call them. You know, all of these sorts of things have to be thought through. And I think that's what we've done very well with the native app. We have a native app in the iOS store, right? So we have to do like 12, 15 releases a year. We're always changing and upgrading this on mobile, more so than desktop, because Apple are always changing things as well, more so than Android.
Indeed.
But it's a great feature that we have and something we've had a lot of positive feedback on. In particular, one customer, we looked at the statistics and something like 45% of their employees were using iPads. So it's really nice to hear that the app's being used. Well.
Yeah, great tool to have, Dave. Yes, agreed. Lorraine, why do you think it's so important for internal comms to be able to introduce great digital tools?
Well, you know, the world is changing, you know, beyond recognition. I think, you know, if you look back, you know, kind of 6-7 months ago, you know, no one thought they would be using digital tools, you know, like they are currently. But
agreed.
This is the way that the world is going. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, I think there was initially, if I look at a year, you know, way beyond coronavirus, you know, there in some respects there was a bit of a reluctance by some people to change. And, you know, a lot of people said to me, you know, when we first introduced the digital workplace, you know, kind of people don't like change. This is a change to how we work. And I'm not sure I ever buy in to that philosophy because I think, you know, outside of work, people change all the time, don't they? They change their clothes, their houses, you know, even their partners sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
change is the only constant, really. Yeah.
That's it. And they change because they want to change. You know, and so if you, and there's good reason to change, and they're involved in making those change decisions. So if you involve people using technology in decisions, you know, around the business and around, you know, how they work, they don't so much resist change. You know, they welcome change, you know, if they can be involved in that decision making. So I think that, you know, kind of digital tools is part of that if you use them correctly, if you use them to their best ability.
Thanks for that. Thanks, Lorraine. A final question for each of you. I'll go with you first, Dave, on this one, for your final question. Does Beazley have any new exciting product releases or capabilities for internal comms teams coming out soon to help them in the so-called new normal? What's coming up, Dave?
Yeah, it's a good question. So as I say, we've invested quite a lot this year in some new features that I think internal comms will love. We've actually today just released an internal version internally, which we're testing out before we go to customers next week. But in there, there's a few really key things. So we our CMS is, the back end is still SharePoint. The front end is completely ours. But what we do very well is we simplify the journey. So what I mean is, if you're using, native SharePoint, for example, then there are 300 different fonts, 300 different colors, 300 different sizes, a lot of complexity, layouts, etc. We try to simplify the journey, not only to make internal comms life easier, but to make internal comms life easier to delegate. So the idea of, in one of our banks, they let everybody write news. Now, there's a nice editorial pipeline that allows people to approve it, but we focus on the idea that it's a simple, modern editing experience. So writing news feels exactly like writing a news story on LinkedIn, or if you've ever used it, a tool called Medium, which is a blogging tool. So very simple, very, very user-friendly. But the most recent release, we've added a few enhancements to that. Things like the preview is now better. You can preview what it looks like on different devices, so you can see exactly what your story looks like. Our targeting has become stronger as well, so making sure that you can really surface the user's information that they should. But we've actually added in the last release and this release with a few tweaks, the way to focus other types of content in the carousel, as Lorraine referred to it. We call it the hero. We've given our users a few more options on layout. So there's four or five different layouts you can have for the hero. But also now it's not just about focusing that global and local news. You can potentially focus different targeting information like a video that the CEO has just created or a Teams live event that's coming up. And I think internal comms, again, having that nice global local push and being able to focus content to the users that they want them to see, it's not just news anymore. It's HR policies. It's Teams live events. It's live chat with the CEO, that kind of thing. So that's something we've really focused on and is it's actually out at the moment, but being improved again in the release that's out today.
Thanks, Dave. That's great. And they're really good to know what you've got coming up at Beazley as well. So final question for you, Lorraine. Quite an important question, quite a big one, I think. What are the three biggest challenges about introducing a digital workplace, in your view, and how do you overcome those challenges? Final words from you, Lorraine.
Okay. So I think behaviour change is a big one. As we talked about, kind of people, are using technology in a different way. Some people are very comfortable with that. Others are less so. And actually, it's really important to, bring all your organisation kind of with you. I guess the second challenge from my point of view is leadership role modelling. So some leaders will want to use it and be very comfortable. Other leaders may be slightly more reluctant, although I think that's changing, because of the pandemic. And I guess the third challenge for me is a cultural one. And I'm going to call it controlling the uncontrollable. So in the good old days, leaders used to be able to write a message and I'm going to use the word cascade it. The principle of cascade, but that's kind of what people used to do. And now, of course, everyone is a journalist. Everyone is an author. Everyone can have their say. So that's kind of quite a big thing to get used to. In terms of how you overcome some of those challenges, so I think, kind of in terms of behaviour change, I think it's two things. I think there's a push and a pull. I think in terms of a pull, you can make your platform, user-friendly, nice, easy to use, fun, like Beazley. But I know in my experience in organisations, I've also used a bit of a push. So I've turned off other channels. Stuff that people would usually receive by email suddenly is on the digital workplace. You kind of force people to work in a different way. In terms of leadership role modelling, for me, it's to go where the energy lies. So I think there are some leaders that will automatically say, hey, this is great, I'm going to use it. Use them as role models. Because I think, people see this, all of a sudden see the CEO talking to a frontline member of staff, via their digital workplace, heads turn, and other people then want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And in terms of kind of controlling the uncontrollable, again, this comes down to kind of, dealing with change, get people involved, get people on board, show them the benefits. You know, kind of let some of the conversations play out. You know, people will see actually that it's a really positive experience for people. You know, people don't want to work in the office. They don't want to work 9 to 5. Often they can't now. So this is a really good way of, you know, shifting that paradigm.
Understood. And I love the phrase controlling the uncontrollable, Lorraine, as well. I'll keep that in my head for future reference.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lorraine. Thanks, Dave. Thanks to you both. And please take care and stay safe, everyone.